evening. It's Sunday night. It's church time. All right. Glad to have a couple of different people coming in. We got some really different people around here. All right. We're going to sing a song together. Page number 137 in your songbook. For those that are here, 137. It's Just Like His Great Love. We'll do all three verses. Stand with me if you will. Sing.
A friend I have called Jesus.
Father, thank you for your great love, and what a joy it is to know you. What a blessing it is to walk with you, to know that you are interceding for us before the very throne of God, at the right hand of God the Father. And we're thankful for the Holy Spirit of God who lives inside of us, picks up residence in our lives when we trust you as our Savior, and comforts, guides, strengthens us along our way. We pray for your sweet comfort in these days that we live in today. Many hearts are troubled and many anxious souls around us. Thank you for the confidence that we have in Christ, that you still have everything under control. And you are still the Lord. You are still our King. And we pray that you would just use our time together tonight to be an encouragement as we focus on your love this evening for us. And thank you that we can love you because you first loved us. Bless our time together tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Hills, come on up. what a lovely name, the name above all names. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess to the glory of God that He is the Lord. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. If you're not born again, if you're not saved, you don't have a place prepared for you in heaven. And that's what we look forward to, is heaven one day. Well, on Sunday night, I enjoy looking at Christian song, my two favorite books since I got saved, my Bible and the hymnal. A lot of churches are doing away with the hymnal. I love the hymnal. Love the old hymns that still have such great doctrinal truth and teaching in them. And many of our beloved psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, they're the only three types of songs I listen to. As the Bible says, psalm, there is a difference between psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I won't get into that. But many of them have great, amazing stories behind them, that once you know those stories, you appreciate the song much more. And on Sunday nights, we're going to look at one of those songs each Sunday night. We're going to give you a Bible lesson first that fits in with that song. And then we're going to look at that song and the writer and the words of that song. I want you to turn your Bible tonight to My Life Verse. Anybody here know what that verse is? 1 John 3:1-3. 1 John 3:1-3. I encourage you to have a life verse. I've had a couple of life verses on in my lifetime since I've been saved, but this is the one. In fact, the one that I used for a text this morning was the first verse that I chose as my life verse. But this one, a life verse is something that you say, this is what I want my life to be summarized. If you could, or maybe you could put it this way, what do you want written on your tombstone? Isn't that a commercial they used to have with a tombstone pizza? What do you want in your tombstone? If you want to live your life according to one, if you can pull out one verse or one, maybe even one thought or a passage of scripture. Mine happens to be three verses long. That's because I'm a preacher, all right? I get a longer one. 1 John 3:1-3. I'm going to talk to you tonight about the love of God. The love of God. 1 John 3:1 says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself. Now, sometimes people say, well, preacher or family members, they don't call me preacher. They still call me Rocky. And that's okay. My wife calls me Reverend, though. But no, I'm just kidding. In fact, I want to do this just to watch her jump. Ha, can you see me? She's running the camera back there. And you got it zoomed in so I can step out of the camera every once in a while. But you say, well, you have to live a certain way. You dress a certain way. You talk a certain way. You're not allowed to do that. No, I don't have to do those things. I get to do those things. And I do those things because I love the Lord Jesus Christ. And every man that what's the verse say? I'm going to quote it wrong now. If I don't start back in verse number 1, I'm going to jump to verse number 3. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he, as Christ, is pure. When we truly love Him, we want to obey Him. We want to follow Him. We learn to live like He wants us to live. It's interesting with all this talk about love today that we like, well, God's love. God overlooks sin. God loves everybody just the way you are. And yes, He does. But He also is a holy God. In fact, that holiness attribute is far more important than His love attribute. Unless we understand His holiness, we can never even begin to understand His love. By the way, we can't fully understand either one of them. The more we understand His holiness, the more we can understand His love. It's interesting that the disciple whom Jesus loved, the one who wrote the most about the love of God out of all the New Testament writers. He's the one that said two different times that God is love. The disciple whom Jesus loved, he's referred to as, is John, the Beloved. And it's also interesting that the one who wrote the most in the New Testament about the love of God also, by no coincidence, wrote the most about the wrath and the judgment of God. Goes just what I'm saying. If you want to understand the love of God, you've got to start with the holiness of God. If you want to understand the grace of God, you start with the law of God. Because the law condemns us, it brings us to grace. And the holiness of God introduces us to the love of God. But I want you to consider, we talked about this morning in verse number 1. Behold, what a great word that is. Consider God's love for us. Behold, you know, it's good just to go in your meditation time and just behold the love of God. Just look at the love of God. Just think about the love that God has for a hell-bound sinner, an undeserving sinner like me, and yet He loved me enough to give His life for me. I'm deserving of nothing, yet He gave His all for me. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed. That love started with the Father and is given to us through the Son. And the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit secures that love for us. That we should be called the sons of God. And therefore, the world doesn't know anything about that. Doesn't matter if it's a religious world or the heathen, pagan world. The world doesn't know anything about the love of God. They can't comprehend that love. In fact, they usually will mock and make fun of the love of God. The fact that God Himself came to become a man and to live a sinless life and took upon Himself of no reputation and became not only man but the servant of man. And He accepted us into His family as a son. Wow. That He'd allow me to sit at His table. Consider His love. And then verse number 2 talks about conforming to His love. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. You know, sometimes you talk about, ask people if they're going to heaven. They'll say, well, I hope so. We'll find out when I get there. If you don't know now, you ain't going there. Now's the time. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. We don't have to wait and see and hope so and might be and could be and who really knows. We'll find out when we get there. Well, right now, we're the sons of God. We can enjoy sonship. We can enjoy fellowship with Him right now. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be. I know we still have a sinful flesh. We still struggle with the flesh. We still struggle with sin. We still struggle with sickness. We still get old and we eventually are going to die in this world. But right now, we have that eternal life in us, in our spirit. When my spirit leaves this body, I'm going direct straight to heaven. And I'm longing for heaven. We talked about saying about heaven this morning and looking forward to that place. Beloved, now are we the sons of God? It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. We'll be sinless when He appears. Today we struggle with sin. We're prone to wander. We still have that sin nature in our flesh, but one day we'll be changed. In a moment, a twinkling of an eye, we'll get to heaven. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, and we'll be with Him for all eternity. We can find comfort in those words. And we're being conformed to His image today. Everything that comes into our life. I learned this a long time ago, that things that come into our life, God has a desire to draw us closer to Him. The devil has a desire to take that same situation, those same circumstances, and take us farther away from God. But we have the choice. What are we going to do? Are we going to draw close to God? Or are we going to let the devil have his way in our life? Well, we need to be conformed to the image of His love. Conforming ourselves to His love. Every day, we got to get more like Him. Now, my wife is here. I tease her sometimes, but I love my wife. And it's amazing. The older we get, we've been together for a long time. I was just commenting, one of our sons got a birthday coming up. I thought, how can he be that old? I'm not even that old yet. But I don't think that we're as old as we are sometimes, but we feel it sometimes in the morning. But it's amazing, the older you get and the more time you spend with somebody, the more you become like them. The more you start to think like, that's scary, isn't it? You two are looking at each other. No, not me. And the more we grow in Christ and the more we love Him, the closer we get to Him, the more we become like Him, being conformed to His image. And then we're consecrated by His love in verse number 3. Verse number 3 again, to every man that hath this hope in him, that knows Jesus Christ, that's looking for His coming, purifieth himself even as Christ is pure. I'm still falling in love with Jesus. Amen? Love's a commitment that we make. When you marry your husband, your wife, you make a commitment to them at the altar. And the longer you grow together, the more you grow in love. You fall. You know, some people got that completely back. Our world has that backwards today. Well, I just fell in love with somebody. Well, I feel love. You know, you make a commitment to somebody, and the longer you walk with them, the longer you live with them, the more you grow in love, and you fall in love with them. I've fallen in love with my wife. I've fallen in love with the Lord. Every day I talk to Him and fall in love with Him. And thank God for His love. I've got a lot of things I want to share, but I'm keeping the messages short. I want to look at a song tonight, a songwriter, first of all. And that song actually has the same title that I gave you, if you caught the title of the message. Frederick Lehmann was born in Germany in 1868. If he were alive today, he'd be famous for something. What would he be famous for today? The oldest man living. You were going to say that, weren't you? Born in 1868 in Germany. He moved to America and settled down in Iowa with his family when he was 4 years old. He was saved as a child, and he later wrote this testimony of his salvation. I like the wording of his testimony, so I'm just going to read it. One glad morning, about 11 o'clock, while walking up a country lane skirted by a wild crabapple grove on the right in the Osage fence with an old white elm gate on the in the gap to the left, suddenly heaven let out a cornucopia of glory descending on this 11-year-old lad. The wild crabapple grove assumed a heavenly glow, and the Osage fence an unearthly luster. That old white elm gate with its sun-warped boards gleamed and glowed like silver bars to shut out the world and shut him in with the form of the fourth. Just come into this heart. The weight of conviction was gone. The song of joy and praise fell from his lips. Well, Lehmann got saved as an 11-year-old boy. He studied for the ministry in Naperville, Illinois. He pastored various churches in Iowa and Indiana and in Missouri. For the majority of his life, he's maybe devoted much of his time to writing sacred songs. For a short time, Lehmann lived in Pasadena, California, where he worked in a packing house, where he packed wooden crates with produce. On one Sunday evening in the church that he was attending at the time, he heard a message on Sunday evening and was moved. The sermon that he heard was on the love of God, and he hardly slept that night. The next morning, the thrill of the previous evening had not left him. As he went to the packing house, the making of song began to come together in his head. Throughout the day, as he packed oranges and lemons, the words continued to flow. Perhaps he jotted down words on various pieces of wooden crates that he was working with as the day went along. He could hardly wait to get home to put his thoughts and these words down on paper. As soon as he got home from work that evening, he hurried to his old upright piano and began arranging the words and composing a melody to fit them. The first two stanzas came quickly and seemed to fit together perfectly. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell.
It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave His Son to win. His erring child He reconciled and pardoned from his sin. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. When years of time shall pass away, and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, when they who hear refuse to pray, on rocks and hills and mountains call, God's love so sure shall still endure all measureless and strong. Redeeming grace to Adam's race, the saints and angels' song. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song.
Though he was satisfied with the words and the melody, they only had two verses to the song. He felt that it needed more. It seemed to him that a song should have at least three stanzas to be considered a complete song. It's a far cry from our world today where a song's just got to have three words repeated 20 times. There's a different world that he lived in. He tried and tried to come up with a third stanza, but to no avail. The words just would not fall into place. He couldn't come up. And out of frustration, he didn't know where to turn. It was then that he remembered a poem that once was given to him at a camp meeting by someone. Hunting around, he found that poem printed on a card that was used as a bookmark in one of his books in his library. As Mr. Lehman read the words, his heart was thrilled by the adequate picture of God's love they picture. He then noticed this writing on the bottom of that card. These lines were found roughly translated into English on the walls of a patient's room in an insane asylum after the patient's death some 200 years ago. It was not known where the lines originated, but they would have been painted over and forgotten had not one of the painters decided to jot down the lines before permanently covering them. Lehman went back to the piano and began to voice the words with his melody that he had written. They were a perfect fit. It was a miracle. The song was published in 1917 and remains today with those words as the last stanza. But wait, there's another part of that story. More recently, the origin of these words have been found by Alfred Smith. If you're familiar with church songbooks, you're familiar with that name. His research revealed an even greater miracle of the writing of this song. The original third stanza was written in Hebrew around the year 1050 A.D. by Mir ben Isaac Neri, a Jewish rabbi. God, knowing that Lehman was going to write a song, also realized that Lehman would have trouble writing the third stanza, so he chose a rabbi who, though not accepting Christ as a Messiah, did possess the skills to graphically paint a picture of God's love in words. God would preserve these words, and then
hundreds of years later, he would have them translated into English by an unknown inmate at a mental institution. Isn't that something? And the last verse, sing it with me.
Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and
for your love for us. We could never fully understand and never grasp and comprehend the love that God has for us. That God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. And Lord, we're thankful for that day when we trusted You as our Savior. Thankful for every day we fall in love with You by giving ourselves anew and afresh to You. And renewing that commitment that we once made to You when we trusted You as our Savior. And Lord, thank You that Your mercies are new every morning. And great is Your faithfulness. I pray that You would give us a great week serving You this week. Help us to be a blessing, encouragement to someone along the way to share Your love with someone this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You have a great week.